need a little drink. Andy and Susie have got a sore throat this morning, and I think it's catching. In a minute, we're going to read from the Gospel of John, and right from the beginning, and we're going to continue in a bit of a theme that Johnny brought to us last week. So we'll get there in a minute. Jesus' heart, his passion for us this morning is kind of found in this. He said this, I've come that you might have life, and life in all of its fullness. And it's like, yes, thank God for that. I've come that you might have life. What is this life that is made available to us this morning? It's his life. And let's just read. We're going to read. I'm going to try and read from the Gospel of John. And just read down these few verses. It's just really got my attention. And we're going to look at a few different people groups, because they represent something this morning. But it's all linked to this. Life. The life of Jesus Christ. And his life is illuminating. It's light. And we're just going to read these first few verses. We're going to do this a bit slowly. It says this. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Just let this speak as we read through it. Let this communicate something to you. It's full and it's rich. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. Apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Nothing. In him, this is an exclusive claim. In him was life. And that life was the light, the illumination of men. The light shines. It does that, doesn't it? The light shines in the dark. And the darkness cannot overcome the light. It is completely incapable of overcoming the light. We're going to read that again. I'm going to do it in a slightly different way to make a point. And it's really consistent with what we're reading here. So just get this. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Jesus. And apart from Jesus, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Jesus is life. Life. In Jesus was life. And the life was the light of men. The light, this light that emanates from him, the light, it shines brightly. It shines, it illuminates, it shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot overcome. It cannot overcome this light. In him was life, eternal life. We've got to be after life this morning, haven't we? Come on. Amen. Amen. We this morning, what are you after? This is a question. It's a real question. This morning, in this place, sitting on a chair, standing here, what is it that you're after? What do you want in your existence? What are you pursuing? What are you wanting to know? I know my answer to that, and I'm recommending it this morning. The response to that question is this: life. I want life. Life, abundant life. Jesus alone is the giver. That's a bit old school song. Jesus alone, exclusive claim of Jesus Christ, life. And it's like, yes! Yes! I'm after that which he has made available to me this morning. I really am. I am destitute without the life of Jesus Christ, and it's what he's come to give us this morning in a fresh, new, ongoing way. What do you reckon? Do you want some of this? He has made himself, his very life, available to us today, this morning. Don't be embarrassed by my enthusiasm. Life. The abundant life of Jesus Christ. He's made it available to you. And it's like, yes, Lord, I want your life. I want your abundant, liberating life to so dramatically alter my existence. What happens next? This is what Johnny was talking about. That's where the light comes from. It comes from the life of Jesus Christ. And as his life is functioning and operating and real in you, do you know what happens? You bring illumination where you go. You tell a better story. That's what Johnny was talking about last week. How do we do that? It is the life of Christ in you in a real and personal way, and as a consequence of his life in you, light shines. Light shines. And it illuminates where it goes. Do you know that illumination? The illumination of Jesus Christ. It shows things up for what they are in a wonderful way. The illumination of Jesus Christ. In him was eternal life. When you use that word eternal, it's not just a reference to time. It is a reference to a quality of life, to a reality of life, to a whole different order of life. It's eternal life. Eternal life is found exclusively in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ. And he died on a cross to make it available to you and me. And I want to tell you this morning, don't settle for anything else than this life. Don't. This is a plea. This is a call. Whatever you do in your Christianity, don't settle for anything less than this eternal life. This is the reality of God, and he has made it available to you and me. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful this morning. It is a reference
to quality. There is such a thing as life according to a whole different order of things, and it is found in Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, let's get this. In him was life. I could just keep doing this morning. We'll move on in a minute. In him was life, and his life, that which shone out from his person, and it illuminated darkness. It illuminated wherever he went, and he has made available to us that exact same life, and it illuminates. We need it. Wonderful. How about this? This is what we're after. Life. The life of Jesus Christ. The life was the light, the illumination of men. The light of Jesus Christ shows things up for what they are. And by the light of Jesus, the nature of things becomes evident. What do you think? By the light, the illumination of Jesus Christ, kind of the core, the base ingredient of things is kind of shown up. It's like everything is kind of stands sort of in contrast to Jesus Christ in real terms. We might not always think in these terms, but in real terms, everything stands in contrast to Jesus Christ. And he illuminates it for what it is. And he brings such piercing clarity into our lives, into our ability to see things as they are, to be able to see a completely different order of things than we would have been able to see without him. And here's the thing, in John chapter 3, and we could actually, let's just read this down from verse 17, two verses here. I just really want us to get this point, because this thing about light and darkness, where light comes from, what it does, it's really important. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge them. Oh. God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Through him, Jesus. Through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men loved the darkness. Would you believe it? Light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light. That's a reaction, isn't it? Hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed, will be illuminated. It's just like, I'm not going near Jesus, because I know that if I do, it's going to show up who I am. Wow. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth, he comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested, may be demonstrated, may be shown as having been wrought, originated in God. Wow, that's a claim. That's what he does. Amazing. The judgment of men is along this line, that light has come, but men, some men it seems, prefer to remain in darkness. That is a head scratcher, but it's true. It's true, and we're going to look a little bit this morning at some of the reasons for that. Jesus, he gave warnings you see the way that Jesus was with different people. There's different people groups that we find in the New Testament. And you find that Jesus, amongst them, seemed to be quite different in his different response to different people. And there were some people he gave warnings about. And he said, watch out. It's really helpful that he kind of points these things out for us. Watch out. Watch out for the scribes. Watch out for the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Who are these people? We're going to have a look. It's really helpful, I think. I'm hoping it's really helpful. He's highlighting some people. And it's like the teaching, the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, what they brought, watch out for it. Watch out for it. Don't allow that to come in your life. And so I'm going to highlight some stuff about Sadducees, because they were sad, you see. And we're going to highlight some things about Pharisees, and there's another people group. And there's one reason for doing this, and it's all to do with light and life, and where we find it, and some stuff that can get in the way, which it doesn't need to, and that's the wonderful thing. So, at the time of Christ, there were, kind of in type in a way, there were three basic types of sin, and we see them clearly in three different types of people. So we're just going to home in on this for a few minutes. There's three different types of people that I want to just highlight and just look at some characteristics of these three different people. And I love the way that the Lord Jesus responded to different people. So the first one is the sin of the publican. The publican is probably translated as different words. We'll get onto that in a minute. The sin of the publican, the sin of the Pharisee, and the sin of the Sadducee. And it's fascinating, Jesus' reaction to these different people. Because sometimes when we might look at these people, maybe our reaction sometimes could be a bit different to Jesus' reaction. So thinking about publicans, right? People referred to as publicans and sinners, this is not really strong, sometimes they were referred to as harlots, prostitutes, these people. There was something really out there in their conduct. They were known as the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Like there was a people group amongst the people of Israel, and it's just like these people, they were just like lost sheep. Lost sheep. You know what Jesus does for lost sheep, don't you? That's the heart of God. He goes after them. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. These people lived in open carnal sin. There was just like no pretense, not hiding it. They lived in open sin. They did things openly, which perhaps other people did privately. You know, you notice how often that happens in life. Some people, they're just a bit out there and they're doing things really openly and really publicly and kind of get condemned and criticized by other people. Some of those other people, they're just doing the same things privately. It's just people aren't seeing it. And Jesus' response to that hypocrisy is instructive. These people, publicans, sinners, harlots, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, these were people that kind of got past caring. It's just like, I couldn't give a monkey's anymore. I don't care who knows about my lifestyle. I don't care. I've got beyond it. Why does it matter? I'm just going to live how I want to live. I'm going to do the things that I want to do. And, you know, stuff the consequences. There's open, flagrant, carnal sin. How are these people? This is strong. This is strong. And you know what? I love this. Jesus became known as the friend of these people. What a response.
Really, what a response.
That was the heart of God to these people. It's like he became known as the friend of sinners. This is the Son of God, the Holy One. He was the friend of sinners. And we see him with different people all the way through the New Testament. We see him with Mary Magdalene. And she was somebody who had been demon-possessed. This is like out there. And he had delivered her and set her free. We see him with the woman at the well. This woman was an outcast in her society, in her context, for her open sinful life, and she was known for it where she lived. And she, the way that Jesus dealt with this woman, the way that he spoke to her, the effect that he had on this person by them simply being in his company, in conversation, he transformed her life. She went away as an evangelist. She met him as a sinner. She went away as an evangelist. And Mary Magdalene, she met him as a demon-possessed woman. She became a worshipper of Jesus Christ. The transformation that happened for these people in response to Jesus Christ was utterly life-changing. We see him call Matthew, who was a publican and a sinner. Matthew called him, and he came, and he became a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. The people that the Lord Jesus gathered around him, you wouldn't want to know them, maybe. And he gathered these people, and again, there was something about him that was attractive, and it remains to be so today. He was the friend of sinners. Jesus spent time with these people, not because he was indifferent to their sin, but because he brought to bear on light to bear on their lives. Does that make sense? In his company, he brought light to bear. And by doing so, he roused their conscience and was a challenge to their lifestyle. They were changed as a consequence of the company of Jesus Christ. He brought light to bear on darkness, and he brought illumination and change in lives. And he does that. One of the reasons why these people's lives were consequently changed in the presence of Christ, because, you know, if I can put it like this, they received his light, his influence, his activity. They didn't have any of their own. They didn't have any pretense of bearing any of their own light, any of their own righteousness, anything. And they received him, and they received his light and his influence, and he changed their life. And we find him so often in the company of these people. And it's just like, what a response. What a wonderful response. The things which Jesus responded to in a strong, in a violent way, were not these people. These people, he responded to with compassion, with mercy, with love, with embrace. And they received him. And they received his light and his influence. And it changed their darkness. And it was just like these people, they went free. They didn't have any light of their own. And do you know what? Neither do you and me. Sometimes we can think that we do. And so we're just going to like storm through that temple right now. Because this is what Jesus did with that
mindset, that approach. And we find in this camp these people, Pharisees and Sadducees. When we see Jesus respond to the Pharisee, we see something entirely different to his response to the open sinner, don't we? I'm not telling you anything you don't know, I'm just highlighting it for us. He responded in an entirely different way, and it is so instructive. Josephus, he was like an early historian, he said of Jesus, he saw him responding to certain things, and he said, he went through the temple like a madman. He was an observer. He went through the temple like a madman. It was like he was in a rage against something. What was it that evokes such a strong response in the Son of God? We're going to have a look. Because it's like, I'm recommending for us and in our lives, if we can get a glimpse of what he was responding to in this way, it's like, let's do the same. In our lives, in my life, if I see inklings of this, it's like, I'm just going to take exception to it. I am. I'm going to take exception to it. I'm going to turn over the tables. I'm going to kick out the money changers. I'm going to go through this temple and I'm going to clear out all this rubbish that looks like a particular person, that looks like a Pharisee, looks like a Sadducee. Some of Jesus' strongest warnings were not about the sin of the prostitute. We might think we know this, but it's actually true. Jesus' strongest response was not against this kind of open carnal sin. He didn't condone it, but he completely, radically changed and healed those people and said, go and sin no more. But he responded in an entirely different way to a different group of people and to a different approach. And some of Jesus' strongest warnings were not about the sin of the prostitute, but the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So if that's true, what were they teaching? What were they teaching? Because Jesus was pointing to it and saying, these guys, what they're bringing, do not receive it, don't go there, and don't let it affect your life. Don't let it in. It's like leaven. And if you get leaven in, it kind of changes the whole thing. Don't let it in. Don't let this teaching begin to infiltrate your life. It was a strong response. The Pharisees, as a people group, they looked very different to the lost sheep. And they were the respectable religious middle classes. They studied the scriptures diligently. These were good people. They studied the scriptures diligently. And they were absolutely convinced of their own theology. They were right. But I've studied, I'm educated in the scriptures. And they were convinced of their own theology. They read the teaching of Moses. That's a good thing to do. We do that. They read the teaching of Moses and they applied it scrupulously. They applied it religiously to their lives. Not only did they try to live by Moses' teaching, but they did something else. They added to it. It's just like, oh, we're going wrong now. They added many things. The things that they added were like their own tradition and culture. And these things added, they were a burden. They were like a heavy weight, a burden. They couldn't live like that. And it was a burden to them. They were full, these people were full of pretense. These people were self-righteous. Self-righteous. If we want to look at it like this, it's as if they thought they had a bit of light of their own. A
I've got a bit of light here. It's good. I've got some light. And they had a bit of light of their own self-righteousness. In their estimation, they knew the scriptures. They had all the right tradition and history. And by implication, they thought that they had some light of their own. Is there anything in this that resonates in any way, I wonder? Because we can do this sometimes, can't we? Can't we? We can be so right about what we think. It's just like, I'm immovable on this ground, I'm right. And it's just like, we can become a bit self-righteous. Jesus came along and showed them that the light, this is strongness. Jesus came, and because he had light, and he brought it to bear, he showed them that the light that they thought they had was in fact darkness. Because why? And this is the critical bit. Why was it darkness to them? Because it did not lead them to him. So that's a good key point, isn't it? If it's not leading us to Jesus, if it's just helping us become entrenched in our own culture, in our own thinking, maybe in our own denomination, our own Christian background and history, and it's just like, my heritage is rich, my tradition is wonderful, and I'm stopping here. It's like, don't do it. Don't do it. That light has become darkness. Why? Because it's stopping me from continuing to walk with Jesus. Stopping me from continuing to come to him. And it's incredible what can do it to us. That's why I'm shouting about it. It's incredible what can do it to us. He said this. Jesus said this to these people. And you just can't, you've got to try your best not to misunderstand me at this point. Jesus said this. He said, you guys, you search the scriptures. Kind of like, that's got to be good, and it is. You search the scriptures. But here's the thing, because in you think, but in them, you have eternal life. And he's like, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. They are that which speak of me. He said, you read Moses. And it's like, didn't you notice? Moses speaks of me. And you won't come to me that you might have life. That's incredible. That's incredible. And that is a real possibility. These people, Jesus said to them, you search the scriptures and you're doing really well in your study and you're finding out all sorts of stuff and you're growing in your understanding, maybe about the law of Moses and about scripture. But the thing is, you've got a mindset, you've got a worldview which is teaching you that in and of themselves, you think you will find eternal life. But the scriptures are there to direct you to me. To me. You won't come to me that you might have life. Life. When I use the word life, it's like we're not talking about existence. We're not talking about just kind of physical kind of being. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the dynamic vitality of God. Life. You won't come to me that you might have life. It's incredible what we can get diverted by, which was intended to bring us to Jesus that we might have life. And Jesus highlights it for them. It's like, guys, what are you doing? The whole book is about me. Come to me that you might have
life. The Sadducee. I can't help thinking of the children's song. The Sadducee, he was a different kettle of fish. And Jesus warned against both of them. The Pharisee and his approach. The Pharisee was a religious fanatic. He was a religious fanatic. And consequently, he didn't come to Jesus. He rejected him. The religious fanatic, he crucified Jesus Christ. He wouldn't come. He wouldn't come. He wouldn't allow the light of Christ to bear on his life. He wouldn't do it. He just thought, no, I've got some of my own righteousness. I've got some of my own right thinking, and I'm not allowing this to bear on my life. The religious fanatic crucified Jesus Christ. The Sadducee, he was a different one. The Sadducee, he's kind of represented in this way. He was, and this is like, it's interesting this, because as you look at this and then you look at our culture, you find all of this right now. And this is a big one, the Sadducee. The rational, common sense, politically, there you go, there's the word, politically motivated upper class. That was the Sadducee. The rational, common sense, politically motivated upper class. They were the cream. They were the aristocrats. And these people, they made up most of the Sanhedrin Jewish council. So the Jewish people, they kind of had this court of about 70, 71 people. And these people, the Sadducees, they were the bulk of that. So they were influential people. And the Sadducees, this is a quote, the Sadducee went as far in believing too little as the Pharisee did in believing too much. So the Pharisee, he added loads of stuff and it was bondage to him. The Sadducee, he removed loads of stuff and it was bondage to him. The Sadducee went as far in believing too little as the Pharisee went in believing too much. If he couldn't, and this is the point. Sorry, Andy, time's flying by. If he couldn't understand it with his rational mind, then he would not believe it. If he couldn't understand it with his rational, common sense, intellectual mind, then he would not receive it. He would not believe it. The Sadducee, he didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. He didn't believe in angels. He didn't believe in spirit. He didn't believe in all of this stuff. He couldn't understand it. He enthroned his own intellect, his own mind. He didn't understand it, so he wouldn't believe it. He wouldn't receive it. Man alive. And consequently, he wouldn't receive the Lord Jesus. All of these things were outside of his frame of reference, and so he simply dismissed them as nonsense. And again, we haven't got time to go into all of this, but you could put loads of stuff in this category, even within the Christian church, broadly speaking, in our day. There's loads of stuff which is kind of getting rejected because I can't understand it with my mind. The virgin birth. It's just like, no, that doesn't make sense to me. I can't understand that. I'm rejecting it out of hand. That's happening in parts of the church. Do you know what that is? That's a Sadducee. They're elevating their own mind, their own ability to comprehend certain things. And do you know what? Jesus has always done impossible things. Always. Jesus has always gone beyond your ability to understand and comprehend the magnificence of God. And anything that rejects that is utter pride. It is the pride of man. And do you know why Jesus reacted so strongly against these things? Because that very pride is the pride of Satan. It is satanic pride that elevates me and says, I have got some glory of my own. I have got something to bring. I've got some light. I've got some glory.
And there's this elevation of independence separate from God. And Jesus comes and he storms through the temple. He does. This is the same Christ who loved the sinner, who was moved with compassion. It's the same Jesus. And he stormed through this religious, arrant nonsense, this satanic pride, and he wreaked havoc with it all. And he's still doing it. He's still doing it. These people, these attitudes, they crucify Jesus in your life. It's why I'm on about it. These things will reject Christ. If I put my intellect above the magnificence and the majestic power of God, I put myself in the place of God. That's what the devil did. I know this is strong. It's supposed to be. It is strong. It will completely ruin your relationship with Jesus Christ if you are diverted by the leaven of the Pharisee and the Sadducee. Religious fanaticism or intellectual superiority will reject Jesus Christ in your life. Every time he railed against these things. Why? Because it's darkness. It's darkness. That which I think is light has become darkness to me because it impedes me from coming to Jesus. Coming to Jesus. Let's come to Jesus. The reason Jesus raged against these people was because they had the very essence of satanic sin in them, which is an independence of God, believing that they had some light or glory of their own. This light was in fact darkness and kept them from coming to Jesus. In him, this is what we read, in him, absolute, exclusive claim, in him is life. Yes, reject out of hand anything else that will impede you from coming to him and finding life. Life. We need life, don't we? We do. Amen. We need life. In him is life. And nowhere else. It's not in religious extremism or church tradition. It's not in high-minded logic, which enthrones the intellect. Life is in the Son. This is the only point that I'm making this morning. Life is in the Son. Our lives, will be as light in the world as we embrace his life in us. It's like light. It illuminates, it radiates, it's wonderful. If we are going to have life, we are going to have to leave our high-minded unbelief at the door. We are going to have to leave our personal religious dogmatism at the door. We are going to have to leave our fixation to our own tradition or denomination at the door. We are going to have to go and sin no more. We are going to have to come as little children, aren't we? You know, this is the only way you get to Jesus. Like a child. After all of this, what's the alternative to all of this? This is it. Come to him. Embrace of a child. And as we come to him in this way, we come to him and we receive from him his very life. And he continues to refresh us and to equip us and to enable us to live lives of light. Wonderful, isn't it? What do you reckon as an alternative to religious nonsense? A life of light. Of light. It's powerful, isn't it? want to encourage us in everything that we're doing and in all of our progress together as a church, this simple reality. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And come continually, come to Jesus that you might have life. Amen. Amen.